Schofield & Company NFL insider, Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk, joins us now.
What the hell's going on here? This is very inspirational. Take the mic, Damon, and crank it up.
Oh, that was just a deep cut just for Miles.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay. You miss a week, Steve, you miss out on the inside jokes.
That's true.
Did I miss that portion of the week?
Yeah, this is a me, Miles, and Candy inside joke now.
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. All right. I'm comfortable with that. You guys can have your little secrets. It's okay. It's all right. Doesn't threaten me at all. What's up, Miles?
Hello, guys. Happy draft week.
Is this a week you love or you dread?
I don't dread it as much now that I'm not a beat writer for one team. It's awful as writer for one team. Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you know, the first round is not as fun because, so, I don't know if this is too inside baseball or not, but you asked me the question, so I guess here we're going. The way we do it at PFT is that, you know, we each get a set pick, and then we have the responsibility for creating a post for that pick. So I think I may have 5-6 on Friday nights. We'll do one for everybody in the first round. And then after that, it really gets a lot easier for us because it's like, all right, we'll do significant picks. So like quarterbacks, you know, the first kicker, if it's, I don't know, the Browns, for instance, they don't have a pick in the first round. So their first pick of the draft will do that. So it becomes easier as things go on, whereas, you know, and Adam obviously knows this and he's going to be going through it. Like if the Raiders have, and I don't know how many picks the Raiders have, so I'm picking a random number.
Eight.
If the Raiders have 9 picks, so they have 8.
Yeah.
So you got to do something off of every pick. You know, you're going to be talking to every pick on a little conference call, you know, and it just, it gets really, really tiresome, especially because you're in the same room with all the media folks for basically 3 straight days. And it's even worse when you're in the Eastern time zone because the damn draft doesn't end basically until midnight on Thursday. And then you have to be there from, you know, 12 to 7 on Saturday. It's not a fun process. So, yeah, I don't envy anybody that's a beat writer now.
You're saying sitting in the same room as the whole media corps for a team is awful. That makes
not
sense.
Not that specifically.
Who would you least like to be stuck in a room with from the Raiders media contingents?
You, obviously.
Wow, that was not the right answer.
I don't know what the right answer is.
You know what
but
it is. That's
the easiest one to give since I'm on the radio with you right now.
That's fair. I was hoping for some other answers. It would have been fantastic. What do you think? I mean, it's easy to, I guess, to just say quarterbacks, but what do you think is the most intriguing storyline overall heading into this draft?
Well, I do think it's who's going to trade up and who are they trading up for, right? I mean, everybody seems to think the Vikings are going to do something with packaging their picks and move up in the draft, and whether that means that they're going to be able to swap with the Patriots, because it seems like, you know, by now we all know Caleb Williams, he's going number one. And the way the wind is blowing right now and the way the betting markets are headed, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to be number 2 off the board to the Washington Commanders. And so, you know, you could say that the draft kind of starts at number 3 overall because it's unclear, A, whether or not the Patriots are going to make a pick, and B, who that player is going to be. So that's kind of where the intrigue starts. And yeah, if it becomes, okay, that pick is up for grabs because the Patriots wanted Daniels, then it makes things a lot more interesting because, you know, is it going to be the Vikings that move up, right? Is it going to be the Giants that move up and they replace Daniel Jones? Is it going to be the Raiders that move up? Because the reporting came out today that, you know, they'd tried to get up to number 2 of Washington and were rebuffed and all that mess. So, yeah, I think that is the easy answer, but it is the most intriguing part of this, at least for me, because, look, you really don't know what's going to happen after pick 2.
Should we, and I made this case earlier, so I'll let you make it, that it sounds like everybody is like begging the Commanders to move up to 2, and the Patriots are sitting there saying, what about us? Anybody want this pick? No, you don't? Nobody wants this? It feels like everyone in the league just wants Jaden Daniels and nobody wants Drake May.
Yeah, you know, so I work with Chris Sims, obviously, and, you know, at NBC Sports, and so what I thought was really interesting with his quarterback rankings, and he is a good reputation for, you know, some things, and not everybody's going to get these things right, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, listening to him talk about the things that he sees out of quarterbacks, right? It, to him, it's Jaden Daniels is the clear number two, and Drake May is behind some of these other guys that we think of him to be ahead of, like a Bo Nix, like a Michael Penix Jr. So that to me is really interesting, and I don't know if that means he's going to end up being right about where Drake May is going to fall, and, you know, May is going to not be selected in the top 10 or all that, but it is interesting when you look at what the reports are, right? And it is, okay, well, yeah, everybody wants to get up two. And if the Commanders are like, no, well, then, yeah, it does make it seem like number three is more undesirable because you feel like you're going to be able to get a player of Drake May's caliber if that's the guy that we think would be number three. You'd think that you're going to be able to get a player of his caliber later on in the top 10 anyway. So that also is where it's intriguing, right? Do the Patriots stand pat and do they take somebody when they would rather be on the phone trying to move back to pick up more assets, but nobody wants to come up to three because nobody wants to get that high and then take a pick that they think has lesser value. So all of that stuff is really intriguing, I think, at this point in the week.
What did you make of Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze being on the same flight and then talking about how much they've thrown together? And it sounds like they're kind of laying the groundwork for playing together in Chicago.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. I mean, whenever you're talking about a young quarterback and the kind of weapons he has around him, you know, that's something that's important. And you know, chemistry and timing and all those different things. Now, having said that, you talk about the Bears, it's not like they are totally bereft of talent at the receiver position. I mean, they traded for DJ Moore last year. That was a huge part of the deal that the Panthers made for the number one overall pick that now has resulted in the Bears being able to select Caleb Williams this year. And they also traded for Keenan Allen over the course of this offseason. So, I mean, you have two really good veteran guys, Cole Kmet, tight end. It's not like Caleb Williams is walking into a situation where you don't have anybody to throw to. Now, you add Roma Dunze to that, that ostensibly does make things a lot that much better. So I think you also have to think about, okay, is this a pick that the Bears could trade back, pick up even more assets? Because they don't have many picks after the first round, I believe. And you also could look at it as, from the perspective of, well, could they draft an offensive lineman? And then they're making sure that they're protecting their young quarterback as well. So I could see the Bears going all kinds of different ways with the number 9 overall pick.
Again, we're talking to Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk here on Cofield & Company. With Zach Wilson being traded to the Broncos, are the Broncos officially tanking, or should we go ahead and get hyped for Zach Wilson? Let's ride with the Broncos.
I don't know if Zach Wilson's ever going to see the field over there. I mean, you know, the Broncos still have a top 15 pick that they could certainly use on a quarterback. And, you know, the thing I think about with the Broncos, too, is that Sean Payton was really interested in Patrick Mahomes in 2017, the year he came out in the draft. There's been all kinds of reporting on this that, you know, Drew Brees was in the draft room and then they felt like they had to tell him, though, you know, this may be a quarterback that we pick if he comes to us, la, la, la. And then the Chiefs trade up one spot ahead of the Saints at number 10 overall, and they select Patrick Mahomes, and then Marshawn Lattimore ends up being the pick at number 11 to New Orleans. So I think if you are Sean Payton and there's a quarterback you love in this draft, and, you know, it couldn't be Daniels and it couldn't be Caleb Williams, right? I think that we understand that those two are probably going number 1, number 2 overall. I can see the Broncos being aggressive and getting up to where they need to get to get the quarterback that Sean Payton loves, to help set up the franchise for the future. Because, I mean, look, they're in a situation where they're spending a ton of money against the cap for somebody like Russell Wilson, who's no longer playing with the team, right? That situation was so bad that they said, we'd rather pay all this money to get you the hell out of here. So because of that, you're a little bit more limited in what you can do in terms of bringing in a veteran QB. So that's why I think it makes a lot more sense for them to be like, all right, we're going to go and we're going to trade up for a QB if we feel like that's the right guy for us. And Zach Wilson, you know, it's a developmental project. Maybe he sees the field as a backup. Maybe he doesn't. But they still have Jarrett Stidham over there. They got another guy. They got Ben DiNucci, who doesn't excite me at all. But, you know, it's at least an arm. So I don't. This was like a low round pick swap, and Zach Wilson just happened to be involved because they needed to get him out of New York.
Earlier, we had Danielle McCartan on from WFAN in New York, and she said she would have a heart attack if the Giants took a quarterback in the first round. Do you really believe that they are going to roll out with Daniel Jones or Tommy DeVito as their starting quarterback options for the next season?
I hope she has good health insurance because, like, I mean, like, I think that they certainly could draft a quarterback in the first round. I mean, you look at what Daniel Jones did last year. It was not impressive.
Don't. You'll be scared. You'll be terrified if you look at that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, yeah, you're right. So I don't really understand that reasoning. Like, they'd be that surprised by the Giants going after a quarterback. Yeah, they paid him a bunch of money, but, you know, it's not like that thing is it's not like you're completely not going to be able to get out of it. You know, if if the Broncos can get rid of Russell Wilson, then the Giants are going to be able to get rid of Daniel Jones too, if they need to. So yeah, I would certainly not be surprised if New York ended up with the quarterback high in the first round.
By the way, I will jump in and do not laugh.
Uh-oh.
I believe the Giants and the Broncos, their mission this year is to lose more effectively this time around than they did the previous season, because the Giants screwed it up. The Giants were in prime position to get a top five pick, and then they won three in a row in the middle of the season, which jacked them up and got them down to six. Sadly, they have to do it again. And I think Drew Lock is actually a good signing. Put Tommy Cutlets out to the pasture. Drew Lock is a good signing because it'll be okay, but it'll probably have them lose so that they can get one of the top quarterbacks next year. Like the Giants, either the Giants like one of these guys a lot and move up, and that's the franchise guy, or Daboll and Shane have their job for another 3 years and you're rebuilding.
Well, but the issue with, you know, the rebuilding is who you're going to do it with in next year's draft. Next year is not supposed to be a very good quarterback draft. Mm-hmm. Y'all know I don't really know very much
exactly
about this.
However, I can name eight guys that I like, and guys will move up and down. And, you know,
yeah.
I don't remember hearing about Jaden Daniels before the season that he was a guaranteed top five pick, nor was J.J. McCarthy.
Also true.
So.
Also true. Change. I mean, you can say the same thing about Joe Burrow a few years ago. Yeah. You know, you're right. People move up, people move back. Spencer Rattler was supposed to be really good, and now we hear about Caleb Williams complaining that he didn't start, you know, he didn't beat out Spencer Rattler even though they weren't losing games and blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I don't – that's a weird thing to me that Caleb Williams is like, that's a bit of adversity. And yeah, what are you – I don't – like what? never mind. But
he didn't have everything handed to him.
I mean, so, but like, because one of my best friends went to Oklahoma, and so I, you know, my college football team is nothing. So I watch
Columbia
college
solid
football with him. You know, I was trying not to
good
bring
time
up the
for your
name
school.
Of,
good time for your school, Miles.
I know, that's why I was trying not to bring up the name of the institution that I went to. But, you know, you watch Oklahoma that year. And, yeah, when Caleb Williams came in, he did elevate things, made things better. I mean, that play he made against Kansas was pretty legendary. But, I mean, again, it's not like that team was losing or that team was not effective on offense. So, you know, this is still football. And, yeah, I don't know. I just – that whole thing I think is a little bit weird. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. He's going to go number one overall anyway. So we'll see how he fits in the NFL.
Who, since we were talking Giants a minute ago, who was tasked with the big Darren Waller story today?
We decided to pass on some of those things that were going on.
Miles, you have to see. I don't know what's wrong with you, man. Not Miles, but Adam.
Yeah.
This was our Las Vegas Sports Camelot. It's a dream couple. They both seem to be nice people. And your friend Adam Hill is like over the moon tracking down the information. What's
wrong
with you?
Over the moon? What are you talking about? I'm a journalist.
This is sad.
I'm a journalist. Emotions can't be involved here.
You're very emotional. You're very happy.
I'm not.
You're gleeful.
Yeah. I'm not happy
DeMond,
at all.
DeMond, you're in studio. You saw he's like giggling.
DeMond's laughing. I think it's a sad story.
You're not believable.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe if I hadn't, you know, worked with you,
yes,
Adam, and exactly spent a lot of time around you, I might believe this. But the fact that, oh, I'm sad. But, yeah, I don't. You need more people. We don't believe you.
It's It's because this is because of Milwaukee, isn't it?
It's because of Milwaukee?
Yeah.
The fact that we had to stay there?
No. That I made you go to the tourist site in Milwaukee and you weren't happy with
that. Oh. I wasn't that unhappy. We also went to the ballpark. I saw, you know, where Hank Aaron's home run fell. It was cool.
But you didn't like going to Jeffrey Dahmer's house.
Again, I wasn't going to mention the names, but, you know, you're...
Yeah, chill out, bro. What are we doing?
That's what he does. That's what he does. But you're believable on your sadness over...
I'm sad. I think we should all be sad. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a football component because Darren Waller was speculated to be retiring. I think he's coming back now.
Why?
And I think he's going to... Because, first of all, now he's going to show out for all the ladies of New York, and he's going to have revenge season.
With who's going to throw him the ball? You know, yeah. I think that's more the issue than anything else.
Fair.
Who's going to be throwing Darren Waller the football? Once he sees that, then he can decide, you know, all right, I want to keep doing this, or I don't think so.
That's a good answer.
That's why Miles on. He's a good point. He shut you down.
That's a good point.
Like, none of us can.
Thank you.
Miles, what's coming up with the coverage this week with Peacock and PFT?
Well, like I said, we've got all things covered at ProFootballTalk.com. You can get a recap of every single pick in the first round. We'll be taking things on all the significant picks as well. Also, right now, up there, you can find Mike Florio's one and only mock draft. He says that he solicits opinions from those in the know. Mm. So that's why he's got a projected trade in the top five that is probably pretty interesting to most people. So you can also check that out. And then, of course, Pro Football Talk Live. We'll be covering all things draft from the first round on Friday morning, and that'll be starting at 4 a.m. Pacific, but you can catch replays all day on Peacock.
Didn't hear anything you said in the last 15 seconds. We're all furiously searching Florio's draft. That was a hell of a tease. You got us. No, that's a compliment.
I wanted you to just spoil it on the air for us.
No.
I'm a company man, sir.
Yes, he is.
I am a company man.
Sell here. We will not do that. Miles, we'll see you later, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, take care, guys.
Holy crap, Minnesota's going to trade into the top three. I couldn't stop myself. I'm sorry. I got excited. That's Florio's prediction.
J.J. McCarthy?
Not going to say. On the way back.
No.
There is one thing that I wish he had from my game. You got to complain for ball. You got to complain. Monday morning, if I have 5 catches, 70 yards, we can't do nothing else till we have a meeting because I'm not getting the ball. That's it. Throw me the ball, period.
Be a bigger diva. That's the advice for your kid. Be the bigger diva. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
Well, Marty Smith, turns out he is not the goofy whatever that he often plays. I don't want to use the word hillbilly.
Oh. Okay.
But no, that was good. That was good. Was Marvin Harrison there? And he was like, yeah. After he said, be a diva. Yeah.
Yeah. The clip goes even further, so then he's talking.
That's a good job by Marty Smith. So my name calling aside.
Yeah, so he's talking to Smith and Senior at the same time, and he says, "Yeah, your father says that you should be demanding the effing ball." He's like, "Yep, that's right. That's what I said." He's like, "Have you developed any of those skills yet?" And he's like, "No, not really." And then Senior goes, "Exactly," almost like calling his son like weak to his face.
Well, I mean. You could demand the ball last year at Ohio State. You weren't going to get it as efficiently as you did the year before. The quarterback play was in the turlet, although we may, in this market, pay for that because now that quarterback is at Syracuse, and he'll be coming to town, we think, as a starter for the Orange against UNLV. I'll ask you before we get into the draft for the Raiders and the odds. By the way, when is your mock draft posted?
When it was being edited like four hours ago.
He teases it at 3:05, and then I'm searching. I'm like, where is it on the front page of the whole paper?
Might drop it.
Come on.
Might drop it in the morning.
We're ready to go with this.
Are you going
to
try to make some revisions?
No.
Okay.
It's already done. It's laid on the page already. So.
All right. Let's not be jerks. Mike Florio, his one and only draft was teased by Miles Simmons in our last block. And he did say, hey, there's a big trade that Florio is mentioning. We told you before the break, it's Minnesota moving up from 11 to 3.
It's posted, by the way.
And he says that the Vikings will take Drake May.
You got anything as explosive as that, Adam? Come on.
Maybe.
Well, hold on.
Mine is posted.
I want to react to this in a second. I want to look at your.
Well, also, draft. Florio has the Raiders, and I've heard this from people. It makes no sense to me. Florio has the Raiders taking Jared Verse, another edge rusher, which I guess.
Well, I mean, is it possible they're like Tyree Wilson right now? Tyree's
been moving inside more, and he can play inside. Okay. But you've also got other guys like Malcolm Kuntz is kind of developing. Like you've got guys. It's certainly not an area of need. And then you go and look, and that's what Tom Telesco was saying. Hey, it could become an area of need. You never know.
He said he talks to people. Are you challenging Florio?
No.
Would you make a bet head-to-head on Jared Verse against Florio? You have the rest of the field, so of course you would.
Yeah,
it would have to be weighted.
Of course. Yeah. It's possible. And actually, just if we're shouting out mock drafts too, Peter Schrager actually does a really good job too.
We heard that when his comes out, everyone was very fired up last week because he's mostly.
But that was the preliminary.
He has another
one
coming though, right?
It's coming tomorrow, and He did tease it today. You're not going to like this.
Come on, don't do it.
Is what?
Go ahead.
Let him speak.
We've always talked about the quarterbacks in the first round, and he said he doesn't want to do it. He hates it. He doesn't think it's a thing. But from what he's hearing around the league, from people that he's talked to, six quarterbacks in the first half of the first round.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's wrong.
He said he doesn't want to do it.
He's a lot more connected than I am, but yeah. I think he's insane. I think he's being played by the smoke screens.
Possible.
But we'll see. Which then makes it really interesting when we talk about the Raiders. Before we do any of that, though, let's have a little conversation about what Marv Harrison was talking about there with ESPN, Marty Smith. Do you think there are any personnel people, GMs, who hear dad backing his son to be more vocal and they're like, I don't want that? Pain in the ass.
Red flag.
Or is that just the way wide receivers might be?
Well, I think
not all, but some are.
What you would hear is his dad's been pushing this on him for so long and he still hasn't gotten to that point. But he might not get to that point. Maybe he's just a good kid.
Are you suggesting that wide receivers who say often get me the damn ball are bad people?
No.
Okay.
No.
Could he not have that dog in him?
You're saying it's the other way.
Yeah.
They're looking up and they're like, yeah. He doesn't want to fight for the ball. He doesn't want to be a troublemaker.
I've also said many times on the show. I've said many times on the show that was me as a high school player.
What player of what?
What do we?
You played right tackle with rec specs.
I'm saying. I just
like run my way. He said, "Come on, I got it. Run behind me."
He said, "Didn't have that dog in him. That was me."
I thought you were the complainer.
Oh, so you knew you didn't have that dog in you.
I didn't want to. I'd be like, no, I don't want to hit somebody.
He's like, I don't want to.
Why would you hit somebody?
He's the dancing bear.
For what reason?
He's very talented, great feet.
Why were you on the team?
They made me.
Didn't high school just
the whole
thing?
No,
wrong,
I was
going to
be. The school just opened. I was going to be valedictorian. And the football coach was my first period driver's ed teacher, sophomore year of high school.
He was going to get an F in
and
driver's ed.
He said, if you want to pass this class, you're at football practice today.
Yeah.
So
no.
And then I went through the drills, and he was like, you've never played before. I said, no. He said, oh, my God. You might be the most talented player. Like, this is unreal.
No, get out of here.
I was a basketball player, so I was, like, very agile. Like, I can move. And he's like, this kid, they're natural. This is awesome. And then they actually lined me up, and they're like, why don't you hit that guy? I was like, I don't know why.
Were you typewriter feet before it was a common phrase?
Oh, yeah. 100%. The drills, just perfection. And then game time, like, you want me to – why
hit
would
people?
I hit
– aggression?
Why would I hit that guy?
So did you end up starting any games?
Oh, I played every yes. snap.
Yes.
Yeah, but they were like, why don't you hit someone?
Can we go back to a story we've told a million times? It's very old now, and I'm not even sure the person's relevant to us. Have we mentioned this one before?
No, but it's new to me.
Someone he matched up against.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The person annihilated him.
Almost murdered me.
Played in the league?
No.
No, different.
Oh, never mind then.
Professional athlete.
He was a professional athlete.
So he played another sport that was not football?
He competed in another sport.
Wrestling?
You're close.
It's Frank Mir.
Oh, okay.
Lit me up like you have never – you can't even imagine how hard he hit me. And then I told him the story many years later when I was covering him, and he said, I did that every game. I wouldn't remember that.
Okay. That's, like, and that is classic Frank Mir talk.
Almost, I mean, I almost died. Yeah. He hit me so hard. It was, I will never forget the feeling of getting hit that hard.
And then the great thing is a lot of heavyweights around the world of mixed martial arts and UFC could see he's a big fella, but they could smell the weakness.
Sure.
They sniffed him. What did Brock Lesnar do almost every time he saw you?
Flinch. No!
Tell me more about that.
It was only twice.
When did he do it the first time?
Did he give you a couple of big pats on the back?
No, I actually was excited. I was like, because I said, he's not going to actually do this. If he does, like, and I'm not going to be that guy.
Was he putting the media on notice? I'm jumping at you?
Well, I did ask him. I said, "What? Like, why are you doing this interview if you clearly don't want to be doing it?" And he just kind of...
Oh, my God.
He did the flinch. That's great.
Flared his nostril and then flinched.
And how did you respond?
I actually was like, I'm not that guy, because we've talked about this before. I'm not that guy. It's like, oh, I wish he would have hit me. I could retire. But I did know in my head, like, he's not going to do this. And if he does, I will probably never walk again, and that's fine. Like, that's my life now.
You've lived a life.
Yeah. I was like, all right, please. Let's go.
So what was the next question after that?
It was over.
Oh.
Yeah, nobody would ask him a question. He's like, all right, I guess we're done here.
Current fighters, take note. If you don't want to talk to the lamestream media, threaten to beat him up, I guess.
You know what? Exactly. I don't want to go on a tangent.
Did you see the video that Dana White posted about?
Oh, God.
It was like, hey, all those journalists. And it was just a clip of people saying, oh, UFC 300, underwhelming. And he was basically saying it to the fighters like, the media doesn't know what they're talking about. Am I right?
It's a weird video.
Whatever.
Exactly.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just, I thought it was wrong to try to flame this up, but that guy Perlman, Jeff Perlman, the author,
yeah. Uh-huh.
He's been getting real active on TikTok and Twitter.
Promoting the podcast, sure.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's doing a podcast?
He's been doing it for a while, yeah.
So he sent something out, or awful announcing, retweeted something from him. And I guess he said that Albert Bell was the meanest, most intimidating person he's ever covered. And I laughed. I was like, seriously?
We don't know how mean Albert Bell was.
Hey,
I did Google him after seeing that tweet. I saw it as well.
He ain't as mean as some of the people in mixed martial arts.
That's true.
That we covered.
That's true.
I think there's a sliding scale.
Sure. War Machine?
Is he meaner than John Copenhaver?
But
who was standing from... Adam's spot to me for 40 minutes. We did an interview. I was like, let's go. And at one point, he's like, he just laid out his plan. He's like, yeah, he's probably like 28 at the time. He's like, yeah, when I get like 33, 34, if I don't have a gym, you know, I haven't made it, it's over. And I think I said, like, you're going to kill yourself? Yep. And Dave Koken was across the way. He's like, okay, I'm done.
He's like, got a break.
Yeah. This is not bragging, but we MMA fighters, some of them are really mean people, you know, off kilter. So,
but I think let's say traditional journalists.
I'm not saying I wouldn't be afraid of Albert Bell. He's a gigantic person, and he's very surly. But there are certain fighters, like Adam said, Brock Lesnar is just he has that big fella angry energy most of the time, and he's out to just intimidate everyone that's around him.
I want to say
Albert Bell's he's a badass, and he was out of control. And I mean, I'm not saying I would throw a ball at a fan, but I'm not saying I wouldn't.
He's also not the only one that has a tragically, you know, tragic's not the right word, but a brutal, awful moment that we had to deal with at the station too, because there was some real Phil Baroni incidents here too.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, he is currently in jail in Mexico for a murder.
Yeah. Actually, that was when the SO chimed in and was like, Phil Baroni? Because she knows, you know, she had dealt with Phil's better half years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some dangerous people in mixed martial arts, so.
Yes, we know.
Yeah. But my point was, like, when you send something out like that, you've never covered boxing or mixed martial arts, where there's a, and that's why I wasn't going to turn it into, like, just, you know, puffing the chest out, because a lot of these people are damaged before they even get into MMA.
Of course.
They have rough backgrounds, they're unstable. A lot of them are great people. So, How do we get on that tangent?
I don't know. Harrison Jr. and Senior.
Marvin Harrison.
Demanding the ball.
Actually, we somehow made a transition to Adams. To me. Yeah, his football background.
It's impressive.
That Marty Smith doing a great job. Look at where he got us.
Yeah.
He did a good job. Yeah. He got a good quote out of Dad. Yeah, I can't wait to that's going to be something for the next 3 years. What a fascinating follow. If the top three receivers, if any of them are the guys who are the 70 catch, 1,200 yard, 10 touchdown guys, or it's someone who goes after them. Because this guy had it right, whatever it was. When was that?
Justin Jefferson?
Yep, you have that one forever. Because that was a Ruggs draft.
That's what I'm still
and
living
it was
off
the
of.
CeeDee Lamb draft, and it was a Jerry Jeudy draft. Was he the fourth receiver or fifth?
Jefferson, he might have been fifth.
And Adam, before the draft, is like, that's the guy.
Well, I hope that this quote really affects Marvin Harrison Jr.'s draft stock and he falls all the way down to number 13. That would be the worst thing that
you don't really want the Raiders to take a wide receiver.
I've heard some stuff.
Hey.
Come on.
It's a potential need.
Come on now. Keenan Allen story.
Yeah. Is there enough depth the next couple of times around to get an offensive lineman? Yeah. To get an offensive lineman with some pedigree.
Well, also, I do think, and I've said this, and clearly they want to upgrade, but I don't think Thayer Munford is as bad as people. Like, people are pretending they don't even have an option.
But it would be nice to have him as a rotational option.
Yeah.
And have someone you're building, not only to play right tackle, but eventually move over to left.
Yeah,
that's not going to last forever over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But God, I love offensive linemen. I'm like the only person who goes into a draft. My Jets, I want them to draft an offensive lineman every friggin' year. Now, they blow it on 9 out of the 10 picks they make, but I did not want Becton.
No, you and Daniel McCartan, you're the two.
We are, yes.
Yeah, you're all over it.
What were some of the negatives about Joe Alt? Because she was making Joe Alt seem like he was a no-brainer.
Well, I got rid of that.
Oh, never mind.
I do have it. I know one is that he leans out too much on his front feet. Leans forward too much, so he can get kind of yanked ahead.
What was that thing she had about Kayla Williams? His eyes are like gluey and scabby.
It's from the NFL.com scouting report.
Okay.
Zach Wilson 2.0.
It wasn't gluey and scabby. It was
sticky.
Sticky.
His eyes get sticky.
That's you right now.
It's true. It's really only in this room, by the way, which is very weird.
Is someone bringing their cat here in the morning?
What kind of question is that?
Does Danny have a cat?
I don't think Danny has a
kid.
That would be wild.
God, this is another tangent. I go to a nice restaurant over the weekend.
How many restaurants did you go to this
weekend? Well, I went to a lot. You know what's funny? I wrote them out. I was like, holy crap. I better check my credit card.
You were spending and spending.
We were entertaining people. Nice restaurant. Halfway through the meal, I see two tables down. Some tall lady comes in, statuesque. She's got one of the little stupid dogs. I'm like, that's not an emotional support dog. Get it out of the restaurant.
Gets off the snap with excessive forward lean in an attempt to lower pad level. That's not good. Leverage-based opponents can stand and stall drive-blocking attempts.
Wow, he's falling. It's all falling apart.
Too much waist bending. Not enough chin tuck and protection posture. Oof.
Is this what you got yelled at
for? Is he even
going to
go in the first?
No, you had all this, except you had no dog.
It was in practice, like against the, against the dummies?
Yeah.
Or against the sled? Just absolute perfection.
Adam Hill's techniques and fundamentals were better than Joe Alt.
Yes.
But you had no fire.
I feel like I just
literally zero fire.
What's the measurables you got on him? Because I don't think
6'11", 320. It's going to make him bigger and bigger.
He's 6'9", 321.
That's what I saw, and okay.
Too tall? Too skinny?
Wait, too skinny or too tall? Or both?
Too tall.
Wouldn't you rather? I mean, skinny is ridiculous at 321.
We weren't done. Beaten by late movement when feet start to sink too deep.
Cut it out.
High center of gravity could make it hard to find the emergency brakes against power rushers at the next level.
The emergency brake.
Betting Joe Alt to be selected fifth overall plus 350. We're off that. First non-quarterback drafted, Joe Alt, 10-1. Nope. We're out. Damn, you tore him
apart. Is he even a first round pick?
Yeah, the Raiders getting him in the second go round?
Yeah, third, fourth round.
Okay.
What do we know about Notre Dame offensive linemen in the draft?
Are you going to try to do what?
It's true.
I don't want to keep calling out Danielle when she tried to smear the good name of USC and their quarterback history. Please do not. Let's not go down the path of Notre Dame offensive linemen are risky.
Also, Joe Alt
is not the case.
Joe Alt in his photo just doesn't look happy.
I saw him in I saw him do some interview. He seemed like a jovial young man.
Well, he looks a lot like my cousin, and he's not happy. I feel like that might be worth
it. Let's pull up the draft. Yeah, he looks like audience. A guy I went to middle school with.
Well, no, my cousin was a college offensive lineman. I mean, it wasn't like it's not like it's completely crazy.
You know what's funny? Everyone in Adam's family is big.
It's true.
But he was like just short of being a great athlete. I'm sorry, I have to do that to you. But
never had the makings of a varsity athlete?
No dog.
No, he said,
no dog.
Like high level college or pro, what you're because your other cousin, I know, he stalled out of AAA, right? The one who plays at Vanderbilt?
He still got parts of four seasons in majors.
I got a little cup of coffee. Yeah. Which is good.
4A guy. All
right. Can I get to something I was mentioning about 40 minutes ago that I started to...
Well, he was a pitcher. He probably could have played offensive line, too. He was a big fella.
Was he?
Yeah. Is.
Yeah. Well, who were the cousins I met here across the studio back about 2007?
Yeah, Steve referred to my female cousins as an offensive line.
No.
And they were listening.
They listened.
Did they confront you?
No, they left. They were in. They were. Did I meet them here?
Yeah, and they were back. They were back home in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Were they listening days later?
Because they thought it was cool. Like, it's met.
It's Adam, Steve, such a charming guy. Yeah. Let's. Oh,
here's the thing. It wasn't even a dig.
It sounds like a dig.
His family is big.
How do you?
They
have
were
a
bigger. They
other?
Were bigger young ladies.
How are you talking to women, Steve?
They were bigger young ladies. I was like getting into kind of like they look like they could play some basketball.
That's not, you said football, offensive line.
Well, they had some mass to them. They weren't like Audie Crooks at Iowa State, but you could see did they play something? Both of them?
Softball.
Of course they did. Right? I nailed it.
Yeah. No,
I nailed it.
I'm not your ally. Don't look at me.
Yeah, I wasn't really ripping on them. I just said they were bigger.
You said they could have been an offensive line.
They were yes. As a smaller guy, I'm like these are some big young ladies. It's not a dig. Offensive line plus 130 for the Raiders. Defensive line edge is sitting at 750. This was circa earlier today. Like I said, tight end 25-1. So you're saying wide receiver 13-1 might be the bet.
I don't know.
And quarterback is plus
350. I don't know if they can do that in the first round, but. All right. I think it's something they could address at some point in the
position
draft.
Of Raiders first pick.
Yeah.
You know what? This is gonna be one of those bets I make where I'm not happy they made the pick, but I'm gonna win some money. So I'm gonna do receiver.
By the way, how come one of Joe Alt's strengths is that his brother played in the NHL?
Tough guy.
You know what's funny about Adam is he will talk about having to do his mock draft for the paper, and he's like, I just spent the last 27 hours doing it. This is why it takes 27 hours.
Of course it is.
I can't believe you got.
Are you
fixating?
Do you just
already.
Fixate on 50 prospects, and every one of them gets like an hour of time?
Well, I also watch film as much as I could on them. I'm not just like spitting things out. Actually, spend a lot of time.
That's what
doing
everyone
this.
Else does. Mostly.
I spend a lot of time doing this.
Just everyone copies and cannibalizes each other.
I don't like that.
Well, that's clearly what whoever did when they said his brother played in the NHL, and that's one of his strengths.
Yeah. Athletic family is very important. Actually. The opposite would be an important note. There's probably almost no NFL prospect who didn't have some family who played some high-level sports.
Yeah.
You're usually not the spawn of a couple of freaking clods who are tiny. Not if you're playing in the NFL.
It's true.
Look at my parents here.
Dusty Rhodes was the son of a plumber.
I bet you he was a big guy.
But Cody Rhodes is the son of a wrestler.
Grandson of a plumber.
It's true.
Somehow you've just slipped this back into wrestling after an hour ago.
Because I couldn't think of any athlete that could, you know. That's.
But he might. A plumber, that can be a physical job. You got to have freaking strong hands and forearms. Could have been yoked up.
Probably
don't
was.
Discount the plumber.
Probably was. I don't think Dusty Rhodes' dad was yoked up.
Dusty was not. Dusty was not doing crunches. He had a little bit of a belly. You don't know that, though.
I don't know it. I said I don't think. I didn't state it definitively.
You don't know that. We cannot get to the Raiders draft. What are you hearing on wide receiver?
All day tomorrow.
What are you hearing on wide receiver? Could one of the three drop to them at 13?
Oh, it's certainly possible.
Three. Roma Dunze, Neighbors, Harrison.
It's possible. I mean, I don't think Harrison will, but I don't think either one of them will, but it's a possibility. And I think
who are the fourth, fifth, and sixth receivers?
Thomas is definitely up there, and
Ryan
I think
Thomas
that there's
from
certain.
LSU, okay.
I think there's definitely fits like to me, and if if the league allows Xavier Worthy to go to the Chiefs, like, that should be terrifying to everybody.
He's the one who ran like a 3.940.
4.21.
Yeah.
And he's not built like Tyreek Hill, but I think the whole league can look around and be like, oh, wait, we remember what they did with Tyreek Hill. We probably shouldn't let them get him. But if he falls to them, I feel like that'd be a fun match.
So who's going to spike draft the player?
Somebody has to.
What does that mean?
For the greater good.
The league has to get together and be like, all right, we can't allow him to fall to 32. Well,
for the greater good.
The league didn't get together last year to block the Eagles. Remember how pissed off everyone was?
Yeah. But there was reasons. Nobody wanted to take on the burden.
Yes.
Maybe they should have.
The Raiders definitely should have.
I still don't think they should have.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
Who had driving issues going a little while back, yeah. And then obviously nearly on the heels of the Ruggs disaster, the tragedy. I think a lot of people were gun-shy about getting involved with another guy who didn't use his better judgment.
And for what I understand, there was...
But he was good with the Eagles.
A lot of disagreement in the building.
Still?
There was on that night of, hey, should we do this? Can we do this? And he's a very, very good player.
Yes. No. But the downside could have been disastrous, and there still could be a downside.
Sure.